All right, listen, let's jump on in. I've got the first dipper is called Fool Around, Find Out. There's a whole lot of that going on right now. And you know what's interesting is what sparked this for me was a story about one congresswoman, a Democrat, who thought that it'd be a hoot for her to go and protest and show those ICE people about deportations. And she got all up in their business, and now she's being indicted. So it spawned me thinking through the fact that what we're watching is a return to the era of accountability. Have you noticed that? That's what gets me, is we are watching a return to an era of accountability. Like, you know, maybe actions have consequences. How about that? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? Think back through the last 4 years of the Biden administration. Did you see anybody truly being held accountable? I could think of one. And that was that kind of freak show guy, Samuel Brenton, the cross-dresser, non-binary, fetish kink expert who would steal luggage at airports, and he had a top-secret clearance, and he worked on nuclear energy. I never understood that hire. It was a total DEI hire. That guy, the only reason why he quietly went away was because they caught him stealing luggage. I mean, that was his jam. He would watch people in the airport, he would steal their luggage, and then he would wear their clothes and take pictures of himself wearing it. What I mean, and that's the only guy I can remember in the last 4 years who there was some measure of accountability, and that was only because he was too embarrassing to keep on staff. Bald head, bright red lipstick, dude wearing a dress. Just, anyway. But did you see anybody be held accountable for, I don't know, things like, you know, lack of due process or arresting granny for praying outside the abortion clinic? Or, I don't know, how about the debacle of the Afghanistan pullout and 13 service members who died? Did you see anybody being held accountable for the lack of border security? Did you see anybody being held accountable for the economy, for the gas prices, for the energy sector, for anything? And the answer to that is no, you didn't.
Not only were they not held accountable, a lot of them were promoted.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your failures is what promoted you.
They just failed up.
Doing the right thing. Get them out of here.
Just fail up, man. What? Accountability. That's silly. Why would we do that? Well, when there's no accountability, whether it be for criminal activity or just negligence or recklessness, all it does is breed more of it. We're back in a place right now where accountability is actually one of the watchwords. And I know that there's a bunch of people out there that are like, I want someone from the Epstein list. I want someone to be arrested. Okay, I think some of that's still coming. But what we're also watching is some of what I would call the tier twos are being held accountable. Like, people are losing their jobs for bad performance or for partisan behavior or for an inability to set aside politics in the workplace or for attempting to undermine the current administration. Or how about this? You've got, like, grants being canceled for organizations that don't do a thing to curb anti-Semitism on their campuses. Or how about this? A congresswoman who was indicted today. And I'll tell you more about it after the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I tell you what, man. I'm looking at a story right now that fires me up. This is breaking news. I'm going to go ahead and just give it to you real quick. And then I know you've got something in a second too, JP. But y'all may recall Laurel Libby, Maine State Representative Laurel Libby, has been on my show two or three times. And she is the one who stood up and said no when the powers that be in Maine told her she had to be silent as a state representative on the issue of transgenders in women's sports. She took issue with it, and she was taking issue on behalf of her constituents. And as a result, she was censured by, literally, she was censured by the Speaker of the House. And on a party line vote, she was denied the right to vote or speak on the House floor as an elected official, meaning basically that her constituents had no voice, despite the fact they had elected her to do what she was doing. Well, we just got word in the last few minutes, like during the break, Supreme Court has now ordered the Maine House to restore the votes of GOP lawmaker Laurel Libby. So yeah, the Supreme Court on Tuesday ordered the Maine legislature to count the votes of a GOP lawmaker who had been censured after she identified a transgender teen athlete in a social media post. The court majority sided with Representative Laurel Libby, who filed an emergency appeal to restore her ability to vote while her lawsuit over the punishment plays out. There were two noted dissents, of course, Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, but the rest of the court in a 7-2 vote said, you can't do this. So basically, until the merits of the case play out, the Speaker of the House fooled around and found out. That fits. Put me some applause on that one, man. That just fit this dipper perfectly. Outstanding. Good for her. Laurel Libby. What a warrior. Getting in the mix and doing the things that she does. What do you have, bro, before I go on to the next thing? Do you have something else?
Oh, we got a comment on the X live stream. This is Kip from Morgan County. It says, first car was a 57 Chevy with a 327, 375, and a T10 Rock Crusher.
Nice.
Second was a 66 Mustang GT2 plus 2 Fastback. Those were the days, my friend. Kip from Morgan County.
Outstanding. Outstanding. That's good stuff. I am told, this is anecdotal, but I am told that when we moved to Germany when I was a baby, right, we got stationed in Germany, dad was Army, and we get over there, there's a limited edition version of the Mustang. They couldn't sell Ford Mustangs in Germany because there was something over there already called a Mustang. So all the Mustangs that were sold in Germany at the time were called Ford T5s. And so they're kind of rare if you can find a T5. I am told that when we got there, someone picked us up from the airport in a 2+2 fastbacks, they called it, because it had, you know, two seats to front, two seats back. But it was a T5 version, and I was a baby, and I promptly threw up in the back seat. So my first ride ever in a classic Mustang, and all I could do was throw up in the back seat on the guy's brand new car.
Nice.
Two text messages, and I'll jump back in. Mike from Florence, Alabama says $5 gas was a good bit in the 1980s for a 67 Ford Fairlane GTA until you left the pump not realizing you left the cap off. Oh, been there, done that. Good thing about 68 Mustangs was the cap was actually attached. So, but yeah. And those are the days, too. I can remember, because you didn't have cards. You don't understand this. This is where you'd open the ashtray and you'd scrape out some change and you'd buy 79 cents worth of gas to get home.
Yeah, I've never been there.
No. Done that more than once.
I've tapped my card since I've had a license.
Jeez. See, I literally remember pulling up to the pump thinking I wasn't going to make it home, scraping out as much change as I could find, digging around on the floor, finding a few more pennies, and I bought 79 cents worth of gas. And the guy looks at me and he goes, big spender tonight. And I said, got to get home. But when you cranked up the four barrel going down the parkway in Huntsville, you know, gas goes quick, right? Eat more gas, go more fast. Chad from Huntsville says, Phil, my first car was a 65 Mustang. Is that the one? That must be the one he just texted in. He says, my first car was a 65 Mustang 2+2, sold in 74 for $300. Wow. Okay, let me get back to the news at hand. Do I have time? I'm not sure I'm going to get the story unpacked.
Got about a minute.
Okay. Well, let's just tell car stories for a minute. I will say this. This first story of the fool around, well, actually, I guess that Laurel Libby story was the first story of a fool around find out. But the first one I've got when we get back, under Title 18 U.S. Code Section 111A1, Elena Haba, who is, you know, you may recall Elena Haba, she was very much involved in the Trump campaign, but she's the acting U.S. attorney for the Northern District of New Jersey. And she just came out and said, you know what? We need accountability, and we are not going to let a Democrat member of Congress shove law enforcement officers around and pretend it's okay, because all it does is degrade the ability of law enforcement to do their jobs if people think that they can get pushed around whenever they feel like it. And if you saw the video of Congresswoman LaMonica McIver, LaMonica was having herself a moment. She was having a complete meltdown. She went complete people of Walmart. And had a complete come apart because ICE wouldn't let her just demand her way in the gate to go see things at the ICE detention facility. It was awful. It was ugly. It was unbecoming. It was unprofessional. And oh, by the way, it was illegal. When we come back, I'll tell you about the details of what is now going to be her indictment. Bill Williams Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. I'm trying to figure out where hour number one went. It just flew by. Got several text messages I'll get to here in a moment. I got to tell you, there's breaking news left and right. So two things have just happened. Right now, as I speak, from the Oval Office, President Trump is announcing the Golden Dome Missile Shield. And he's talking about a $25 billion initial investment in a ballistic missile shield, much like the Iron Dome that Israel has. I mean, if you saw, by the way, Israel, did you see how effective it was when Iran tried to launch ballistic missiles and drones like in a wave? It was like a wave attack. And I don't think hardly any of them made it through. Now, there was some Air Force capability. I mean, they interdicted some, you know, with air-to-air, but a lot of it was the Iron Dome also doing its job. Trump is saying we're going to have the Golden Dome, and he is announcing that right now as we speak. That's breaking news. The other piece of breaking news is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth just announced just a few minutes ago, and I see it posted here on Twitter, that there is a brand spanking new review right now of the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan, saying in his memorandum when he issued it just a little while ago, he said, the administration's chaotic withdrawal of the U.S. military and embassy officials from Afghanistan led to the deaths of 13 U.S. service members. And he says, over the last 3 months, the department has been engaged in a review of this catastrophic event. I have concluded that we need to conduct a comprehensive review to ensure that accountability for this event is met and the complete picture is provided to the American people. And to meet this imperative, I'm directing the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs and the Senior Advisor, Sean Parnell, to convene a special review panel for the department to thoroughly examine and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, he says in all caps at the bottom, he says, this team will ensure accountability to the American people and the warfighters of our great nation. That's a fool around, find out moment right there. The Democrats hoped that we would bury it. You were telling me we were off the air that, who was it? Was it Sean Ryan or who was it said they were?
It was Sean Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, what'd he say?
So he was on Tucker. They did a podcast yesterday and he talked about how close he got to having Kamala come on the show.
Yeah.
And that they were talking back and forth. Oh, what would you like to talk about? You know, what do you want to bring up? And he mentioned he wanted to talk about the Afghanistan withdrawal and how that was.
Of course, he's a former SEAL.
A big disaster. And they just kind of went dark after that. Stop talking to him. Had no interest coming on anymore.
Like a cricket sound effect ought to be effective right about now. Hey, would you come on and talk about Afghanistan? Yeah, no doubt. So here I am. I'm doing this dipper right now. I'm calling it Fool Around, Find Out. But what it really is, it's a dipper to talk about the fact that I said earlier, we are in an era of accountability. Unlike anything we've seen in recent years, we are finally seeing people's feet being held to the fire. And right there, you just saw the Secretary of Defense, or saw, you heard at least, the Secretary of Defense announce that accountability is the reason why he's extending the review process on the Afghan withdrawal, and rightfully so. How about this one? Let me get back to the story I said I was going to do. I hold it here in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Dateline yesterday, Fox News. Federal charges have now been filed against a Democratic congresswoman following her confrontation at the ICE facility. If you didn't see the video, it's worth it. Look up, all you got to do is look up LaMonica McIver, which is spelled M-C-I-V-E-R. LaMonica McIver. Are you looking it up right now? How about that? You going to put it up? Okay, tell me when you're ready. She, you know, you'll see her because in the video, if we can get this thing put up real quick, you'll see her in a bright red jacket, basically just pushing her weight around, pushing police officers, screaming in their faces. The body cam videos showed and heard just amazing profanity, like the kind that drill sergeants shouldn't be allowed to use. And at one point, I know for a fact I watched it, she actually elbows a police officer in the back of the head trying to get him to move out of the way. And she has now been indicted.
It's up on the screen right now, yeah.
Okay, I'm watching it right now. There's the Newark mayor being arrested, and here she comes in the red jacket, and there goes the elbow right there in the back of the police officer's head. And she is just pushing that weight around and telling him what she thinks. Don't you know who I am? Well, guess what? We know who you are. She says, we were fulfilling our lawful oversight responsibilities. Sure, that's what you were doing. You weren't making a scene. This wasn't a demonstration for political, you know, pundits and to create a circus. Says we were fulfilling our lawful oversight responsibilities. Our visit should have been peaceful and short. Yeah, it should have been peaceful and like really short. Instead, she says, ICE agents created an unnecessary and unsafe confrontation when they chose to arrest the mayor. Okay, that's what happened. ICE was the one at fault. ICE is the one who called over there and asked you guys to please come over there and make complete jokes of yourselves. She says, the charges against me are purely political. They're meant to criminalize and deter legislative oversight. No, they're not. Not at all. Because ICE turned right around and said, listen, if y'all want to actually schedule a tour, we'll meet you at the door and guide you through. So Fox News has learned that McIver must turn herself in as soon as possible, though it is up to the magistrate on the specifics of when she must turn herself in and how. Perp walk, anybody? Can we have a perp walk? Hello, perp walk. Newark Mayor Raz Baraka was originally charged with a Class C misdemeanor for trespassing, but they did decide to drop those charges. And he says he's glad the charges were dropped. He also says, I stand with La Monica, and I fully expect her to be vindicated. I don't. I expect her to be prosecuted. I expect her to take a plea deal. I expect that it will happen pretty quickly because she won't want it on her record, and she knows that if she gets a felony, which this is a felony, that she's looking at possibly losing her seat in Congress. So I look at her pleading down to a misdemeanor and doing some community service. But you know what? It's called freaking accountability. That's what it's called.
If they were to go there and just kind of grandstand and hold signs and protest or whatever, sure, completely fine. The problem is when she got herself in trouble is when she buries her elbow in the back of a police officer. Nope. So you're not above the law.
That's right.
And so if it were political, they would have arrested them for protesting at all. She got arrested for assaulting an officer.
Go sit on the steps of the Capitol with Hakeem Jeffries and Cory Booker and sing, you know, old spirituals and pretend that it means something. But don't go push around police officers and call it okay. And by the way, before any of you liberals who actually watch the show or listen to the show start texting in about January 6th, just understand this. I've said from day one, if you put your hands on a police officer, you were wrong. I don't care what January 6th had otherwise. If you put your hands on a police officer, you were wrong. But the reality is the majority of the Jan 6 was literally just like way overblown. But in this case, we've got the footage. And the entire Policeman Evidence Society, the local police union, ICE, the Department of Homeland Security, they all came out and condemned this behavior. And they said they want to know why it was allowed to happen this way and why she thought she could get away with it. And guess what? She's not getting away with it. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is already saying, don't you dare. And the Trump administration is going, don't we dare what? How you like us now? I thought you were the one saying, no one's above the law. Remember that? No one's above the law.
Well, Phil, you know,
law unless you're a Democrat.
The law is a one-way street. You know that. It's only against Republicans. It doesn't go both ways.
Not no mo. next story I got in the Fool Around Find Out. Did you realize it's an hour and 14 minutes in the show and I'm only on the second story of the first dipper?
Well, we technically did a dipper on cars already, so it could be a quad dipper day.
That's fair. How about this one? Harvard. Harvard's having a little trouble. I say Harvard is having a little trouble. So Harvard lost another grant. The Department of Health and Human Services has canceled another $60 million in grants to Harvard University. They are bleeding money right now. But wait, there's more. So the termination of the $60 million in Centers for Disease Control and Prevention related funding, they had a $60 million grant for research, I guess, through the CDC, canceled. Harvard has now seen nearly $3 billion in federal grants or contracts frozen or canceled. The university has now sued the Trump administration in late April, refusing to negotiate on a series of suggested reforms. Okay, how about you fool around and keep finding out? Guess what? There was a letter that was written by the Harvard Presidential Task Force on Combating Anti-Semitism, which concluded in an April 2025 report that some of the instructors at Harvard had actually done what was called, quote, mainstreaming and normalizing what many Jewish and Israeli students experience as anti-Semitism and anti-Israeli basis. They're mainstreaming it. You got faculty there, tenured, I'm sure, who you can't get rid of. But then let me ask you this. How is it they can lose $3 billion in grants and they don't want to change their behavior So what they do is they go in and they immediately re-earmark $250 million from their central budget to compensate for the lost federal funding. Oh, you mean you had the money? Then why are we sending it to them? By the way, Harvard has a $53 billion endowment. $53 billion endowment. Harvard says they can only spend a small fraction of that, though, at a time, because 80% of it is earmarked by a certain donor. So 80% of that came from one donor? My gosh. How do I get adopted by that person? But all said and done, Harvard's got money. They just want your money because, you know, well, they fooled around and they found out, didn't they? $3 billion lost. But you know what else it's doing? It's having an impact on politics. So we'll take a break right now. I'll come right back and I'll tell you what fool around, find out means in the political realm. Like, are we going to see some districts flip because of some of the stuff that's been going on? I got a story here from the Daily Caller. You're going to want to hear it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Ed from Madison sent in a link that I saw during the break of a tricked out Mustang, and if I'm not mistaken, they were putting a tank engine into it. What is going on there? Yeah, that would be one tricked out Mustang. Fool around, find out. That's the first dipper. That's where we are right now. Look, I got a story here for the Daily Caller. I told you a minute ago about how the Trump administration is canceling, so far, over $3 billion in contracts and grants just to Harvard alone because of anti-Semitism, because they won't quit. I mean, even the findings of a presidential task force that said, we see it, it's there, and students are asking for help with this, and then lo and behold, you'll do nothing. Okay, guess what? No more funding for you. No funds for you! What does it mean politically, though? Are we going to see it? Are we going to see it causing a change? So how about this? Daily Caller has a story that says New York Republicans are hoping they can actually flip a largely Orthodox Jewish Brooklyn State Senate district that has strongly backed President Trump in recent years as Democrats continue to struggle with anti-Semitism from certain corners of the party's coalition. All right, what we're saying here is, yes, it can have an effect. You might fool around and find out there are ripple effects of this. So maybe you're doing nothing, Democrat Party, on anti-Semitism. You're too busy, you know, being just too understanding of Hamas and Palestine. You're allowing students in your districts to pay good tuition to not be allowed to go to class because there's a whole lot of anti-Semitism on their campus, and they're having to hide and lock themselves into the library and, you know, and avoid certain sidewalks and all the, anyway, bottom line is that can't happen. And what we're seeing right now is there is real belief that certain state Senate districts, which are pretty broad, by the way. My state Senate district was 3.5 counties when I was in Alabama. But in New York, you're looking at right now a largely Jewish Brooklyn state Senate district could flip. And that's the kind of thing that we're seeing happen. I got one more on this. In fact, let me dig down in my pile here because I saw another. I had another one that I, yeah, here it is. On the opposite end, down yonder in the southern reaches, Florida's Miami-Dade County is flipping red in voter registration for the first time in history. In history, JP. In history.
That is really crazy, actually.
Right there.
If you know, like, I mean, Miami's a massive city. Like, that's not a small thing.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just huge. So for the first time in history, says Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday, there are more registered Republicans than Democrats in Florida's Miami-Dade County. Can I have some applause? That's a good one. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Florida's Voice reported 464,000 Republicans and 440,000 Democrats are now registered to vote in Miami-Dade County, which has been one of Florida's blue strongholds. It'd be like saying that suddenly Jefferson County, Alabama flipped red. Because right now it's pretty much a given. You're not going to get anybody elected in central Birmingham. You're just not. It's a Democrat stronghold, even in a red state. Well, that's the way it's been in Miami-Dade County forever, like in the history of ever. Miami-Dade County has now completed its off-year voter roll maintenance, and this morning it shed 172,000 voters from its active rolls, which netted Republicans more than 38,000 voters. And they're going to scream. They're going to say, it's a fix. All they're doing was taking the dead people out. Anyway, all said and done, between the DeSantis and Trump administrations, Florida is largely moving further and further into the red zone.
Well,
because they fooled around and found out.
What I see from that is people in Miami have been reaping the benefits of DeSantis as their governor.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, I actually kind of like this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's I mean, I would say DeSantis is like the most impactful conservative governor in America right now. So I think they're finally waking up. Be like, this stuff, you know, is pretty good, actually.
Actually works. In his tenure as governor, this article says from Daily Wire, DeSantis governed as a staunch conservative. He took massive heat for keeping the state open during the COVID pandemic. He signed legislation requiring government employers and contractors to use E-Verify. He terminated cooperation with the program to relocate illegal immigrants. He advocated for school choice. He banned the teaching of critical race theory in schools. He banned China from buying land in the state. He handled disasters like hurricanes Ian and Nicole like a champ. And he was widely praised. He also banned men from competing in women's sports as far back as 2021. And he gave a $5,000 bonus to anybody who wanted to move to Florida to be a police officer. I mean, like, how about this? Lead from the front, man. And Miami-Dade County, flipping red. A couple more on this, and I'll wrap this dipper up. Can I get it done? I got about a minute left in this before the break. How about this one? We are now learning from James Comer, House Oversight Committee Chairman, that they are sending out subpoenas for the people who ran Joe Biden's auto pen. Oh, yeah. Fool around and find out, baby. During that period of time that Biden was in office, he issued thousands of clemencies, says Wokespy. Wokespy, Dateline yesterday. Clemencies and presidential pardons, including to his own family members. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, everybody does.
The last thing he did before he got out.
Yeah, on the way out the door, by the way, we're all innocent. Whoop, whoop. However, the use of his auto pen extends deep into his presidency. He issued numerous executive orders, and it's now that he was likely unaware of what he was doing, says Comer. So Comer says they're sending out the request for people to come in and take depositions, and if they fail to comply, they will be subpoenaed. They're getting to the bottom of it. Listen, that's nothing but good stuff. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show right here. This show. Woo. I mean to say, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now get to once again call Fort Benning. Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that, by the way, is just the radio. Then there's the online audience, the podcasting audience, and we thank you. We thank you more than you could possibly know because, listen, JP and I could sit here in the studio and push buttons and talk into a can, and it wouldn't make a bit of difference if it weren't for y'all being out there. So we love you, we appreciate you, and thank you very much. I'm going to get to a couple things here to wrap up this dipper and then get some text messages before I go to the next piece, but I got to tell you, we got a thing going on. So a reminder, Right Side Radio that you're listening to right now is just one production of Right Side Media, the parent company. Right Side Media, we do all kinds of stuff. We got the written work, we got the radio show, of course, and then we've got multiple podcasts. And we just had several more podcasts come out of the last couple of days, one of which is JP's Out of Right Field podcast, sports-based. We had Birdman's Right Click, which is tech and gaming-based. We had the Controversial Mom with Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty. And really proud of this. I wish we had a drum roll. We got to get a drum roll sound effect.
Yeah, we do.
I wish we had a drum roll because right now we got a thing we're starting tonight. So we got a brand spanking new long form podcast. Basically means we're going to have deep dive conversations with some of the most interesting people you have ever met. And tonight, and I see you put up on the screen. Thank you very much. Tonight, the very first one, Warriors of Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm interviewing former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson at length and talking about his time on the SEAL teams, his fight against human trafficking, and then what it's like to have the faith that he does and still be in a place where he's taking people out on a regular basis as a former sniper in the SEAL teams. We'll talk with Jared Hudson tonight. It goes out at 6 o'clock. It's called the Just Right Podcast with Phil Williams, and this is the first round. Some of y'all, by the way, who are on our text lines, we rarely do this. We don't want to abuse the privilege. But tonight we're going to send out right around 6 o'clock. We're going to be sending out a text to many of y'all, and you'll see it. and it'll announce that, hey, that podcast rolls out tonight, and we'd love for you to check it out. We'd love for you to subscribe to it. It's on YouTube, and if you do, that would mean the world to us, because YouTube then lets us do more the more that people subscribe. Last thing I'll tell you, shameless plug, in honor of the Just Right podcast with Phil Williams kicking off tonight, we have a promo code on the Right Side merchandise store. So T-shirts, coffee mugs, our Benshot Bulletproof Influence glasses, hats, all of it, stickers, all on the Right Side merchandise store at rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org, 10% off. Everything's 10% off as long as you use the promo code Just Right. So there, I feel like I did a whole dipper just on new stuff happening. I love new stuff happening.
It's all good new stuff happening.
Hey, last couple things I got. I'm closing out this dipper, and I wasn't going to get to them. I was going to let them, but I can't. I got to do this. So in terms of the fool around, find out, you know, what's amazing to me is this: we're not just watching, like, pure Democrats having to fool around and find out. I mean, they're cleaning house right now in D.C. and in the establishment and even in the military. Story broke on Fox News yesterday. A retired four-star admiral who was once the Navy's second highest ranking officer was just convicted of bribery and other conspiracy charges. Get this. Four-star Admiral Robert P. Burke, 62 years old, was found guilty on Monday of this week of a scheme to direct lucrative contracts to a company in exchange for them giving him a $500,000 a year post-Navy retirement job. Yeah. He's facing 30 years in prison. I mean, at one point, he was in charge of U.S. naval operations in Europe, Russia, most of Africa. He had thousands of people under his, and he basically got all these contracts kind of steered over this company in return for them giving him a job. And he fooled around and found out. It doesn't work that way. I'll stop it there, and I'm going to go on and get some text messages. You guys are amazing. All right, look, some of y'all are still commenting on the monologue and the cars, and I am loving the car stories, so send them all you got, especially Adam from Athens, who had everything from a GTO Judge to a 66 Chevelle. He says in high school, the saying was $5 to stay alive at the gas station. Yes, $5, man. I could get downtown with that and back. $5.
$5 can't get you much in gas nowadays.
Listen, $5 back then, I could put gas in the tank, buy a burger, and still have a little pocket change.
My old gas guzzling truck, $5 would maybe get me out of the neighborhood. Maybe.
Of course, that's assuming that I was not doing my Dukes of Hazzard impression down Bailey Cove Road.
Yeah.
Okay. Pete from Decatur says, I wonder if the press will cover the LaMonica case with the same fervor they covered the George Santos case. I don't know. I'd like to see them giving it the same amount of time they gave to the Jan 6 Commission. How about that? By the way, another piece of breaking news was today. The only person who actually died at the Jan 6 event at the Capitol was a protester named Ashley Babbitt, who was unarmed and was shot dead by a security guard who they gave a medal to for shooting her dead as an unarmed woman. Ashley Babbitt's family sued, and the Trump administration just settled with them for millions of dollars, I believe, as of yesterday. So millions of dollars. I heard upwards of $5 million. It will never bring their daughter back. But I'm glad the Trump administration said, we're not going to fight this. We're going to settle it. We're going to settle it the right way. And while they're at it, can they take the medal back from the security guard that shot her? Wouldn't that be something? Jerry from Decatur says, looks like the New Jersey rep was going to be singing, I fought the law and the law won. Airborne. There it is, Jerry. Tom from Decatur says, unfortunately, people like Representative McIver and Whoopi Goldberg have cried racism for so long and so often they've spawned the new whole, yeah, I get it, the fatigue thing, I get it. It's a mess, but they've got to quit. Dana from Athens says, a perp walk right off the Congress floor. Wouldn't that be something? John from Rossville, Georgia says, need your prayers. All of North Georgia is under a serious tornado threat till 11 p.m. Eastern time. Well, blessing, Lord, we do pray for our listeners. We do pray for our state. We do pray for our neighboring states. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would calm the winds. You are the God who calms storms. And we pray for it in Jesus' name. How about that? Bless them, Lord. Ed from Madison said, that's right. I already said that one. That was the tricked out Mustang he sent me. Rap from Athens says, Sean Ryan said he knew it was time to get out of the seas when he saw them give a Bronze Star for keeping a snack machine filled. Oh, come on. Please tell me that's not true. And then Dan from Huntsville says, a little late to the game today. Did you see the Supreme Court stepped in and supported the censured legislation? Yes, I did. We talked about it a little while ago. It's huge. Laurel Libby, breaking news. She's been on the show multiple times. I just texted her a little while ago and said, celebrating with you. But she was banned from being able to vote or speak on the House floor in Maine. And guess what? They fooled around and found out you can't do that. Mr. Hill from Pumpkin Center. Hadn't seen you in a while. There he is. Mr. Hill from Pumpkin Center says, I remember when $5 would be a six-pack of beer, a carton of cigarettes, the Twinkie, and 5 gallons of gas. You can't do that now. Know why? Security cameras. I was going to say, I don't think you could ever get that much for $5. Now I understand what he's saying. Randy from Madison will wind it up here. He says, 76 Camaro, 350, four-barrel, black, of course, with a red interior. Lord, I miss that car. Randy from Madison. Appreciate you, bro. Randy, you didn't happen to be on the hill on Weatherly Drive in South Huntsville in 1984 and, like, have a little moment there with a 68 Mustang that was running open headers, did you? Just asking. For a friend.
For a friend, of course.
Jim from Athens says, I remember the gas shortage and the lines to get to the designated dollar amount. Yes, indeed. And then Thomas from Athens says, had a 31.5 window Model B coupe with a 330 Hemi. There's some car people in this audience, man.
Yeah, there is.
There just are. All right, we're going to switch gears. Coming up in the next dipper here, I'm going to jump into the deportation machinations. So there's things happening right now that are really pretty amazing. First of all, the southern border is actually secure. Isn't that a neat idea? But yeah, the southern border is actually secure. And we're watching things happen on the southern border that we never thought possible. Even though we believed it could be done, we didn't think it could be done in 100 days. But what we're also seeing is we've gotten some major rulings. We've gotten some new programs. We've gotten some mojo behind the idea of deportations. And it's pretty impressive. So I'll tell you what, go ahead and move me to a break. I'll take it about a minute early. I'll let you get the buttons pushed as you know you got to do that thing. But I'm going to tell you when we get back from this break about Trump's self-deportation deal, which just kicked off. And then I'll tell you also a little bit about what's happening with George Soros radio stations trying to unmask ICE agents. Yeah, it's true. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Deportation Machinations, coming up.